Folks, I have titled this homily, "We Are in It Together," a reflection on the blessedness and woes in the Gospel of Luke. We are in it together. Now today we hear from what is very popularly known as the Sermon on the Plain. The Sermon on the Plain is Luke's version of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. And much of the content between the two versions of the sermon is very similar, but there are key differences. And I want to focus on just one of the differences. Unlike Matthew's Beatitudes, which focuses on the blessed. So all of the eight Beatitudes of Matthew begin with "blessed are." Luke's Beatitudes are divided into two sections. The first four Beatitudes promise blessedness, and the second four declare woes. And this is unique to Luke. Now, the blessed and those against whom the woes are declared are contrasted. And the contrast is between the rich and the poor, between the hungry and those who are filled, between those who weep now and those who laugh, and finally between those about whom people speak well. That's the contrast that Luke creates. Now, what are we to make of the Lucan Beatitudes? And so I have my 3 points and 3 practical implications, and please let us enter into this with some depth, because really, whether we are blessed or woes are being pronounced against us is really in our hands. So, Beatitudes. First, I want to talk about what in Scripture is called the great divine reversal. The Beatitudes, both in Matthew and in Luke, and particularly in Luke, turns the world on its head. The irony lies in this, that the poor, the hungry, those who weep, and the hated, in other words, those whom the world considers unfortunate, are the blessed in the kingdom of God. Meanwhile, those who might consider themselves rich or satisfied or happy in this present age are the disadvantaged in the kingdom of God. And there is a biblical term for this reality. It is called the great divine reversal. And we find many instances of this divine reversal in the Gospel of Luke. Now, you remember the story of the rich man and the poor man Lazarus, who lay at his gate. When they both died, their fate was reversed. This was also true of the religious authorities of Jesus' times and the sinners of Jesus' time. Jesus said about them, "The first will be last, and the last will be first." So this is this great divine reversal. Now, this has implications for us, particularly as we hear the Lucan Beatitudes. What is the implication? I think it means that we should live with the divine reversal constantly at the back of our minds. Perhaps there are both who consider themselves fortunate and those who find themselves to be unfortunate hearing this homily, right? So there might be poor and rich right in this congregation or in the live stream audience that or congregation that's listening to this homily. Now, if we find ourselves to be rich, if we find ourselves to be filled and laughing now, then we have a certain responsibility in the kingdom of God. And if we are the poor, if we are the hungry, And if we weep, and if we have, then we have our particular role in the kingdom of God. So the point that I'm trying to make is this, that we need to live life not from the perspective of our present reality, but rather from the perspective of the divine reversal. And living with this perspective of the divine reversal has eternal implications. So that's the first point I'm trying to make, that we live with a certain consciousness of how God looks at the present reality and eternity, and how we will be part of that, right? That's the first point. Now, my second point, I want to talk about the divine reversal in the here and now. Not just about what happens when we die, but in the here and now. As followers of Jesus, we are invited to not merely be conscious of the divine reversal, but to also live that divine reversal in the here and now. So here's the deal. Those who consider themselves fortunate and those who consider themselves unfortunate, they both might be amidst us. However, fortunes change. One day we might find ourselves to be fortunate, but our fortunes can change the very next day, right? So our fortune in this present world is not permanent, it is temporary. The best thing we can do is to remember that no matter what the reality of our lives, that we are in it together, rich or poor. But this thing we call life and our journey into eternity, that we are in it together. And I think this is the most important consciousness that we can have. Now, before I go any further, let me reflect a little on Jesus' saying regarding riches and the rich. I'm going to say that Jesus is not anti-wealth. I don't think that's what Luke is trying to communicate with us. But Jesus strongly cautions us against the dangers of wealth and riches. Because wealth and riches can blind us. Wealth and riches can make us trust our possessions more than God. Focus primarily on increasing our wealth. Make us exploit others. Make us self-sufficient. And lose sight of the others. So here's the implication of my second point. That rich or poor, we cannot forget that we are in it together. However, the temptation to forget this gospel call is greater for the rich. Jesus cautions, especially those who are rich, to not ignore the real life struggles of people. We cannot be ignorant of the desperate needs of others and particularly be insensitive to the gut-wrenching cries of the poor. Rich or poor, we must live in such a way that we bring hope to the hopeless, laughter to those who weep, comfort to those who are afflicted, and faith to those who seek meaning. Rich or poor, this thing we call life, we are in it together. Finally, what is this blessedness of the poor? This is my third point. Now ask any poor person, or hungry, or those who weep, or who are hated, and they will tell you that it is awful to be that way. You will never see a starving person thrilled about starving each day. So what is the blessedness of poverty? The blessedness of the poor lies in the promise that Jesus makes to them. The blessedness of the poor lies in the real and tangible way in which God is on their side. Whereas the rich may forget the poor, God hears the cry of the poor. Whereas the rest of the folks may forget those who are weeping, God always sees our tears. The blessedness of the poor lies in the reality. And this promise was fulfilled in Jesus' lifetime. In the Gospels, Jesus belonged to the poor, the outcast, those who were rejected by society. In fact, Scripture tells us, he who was rich became poor so that the poor might become rich. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. In reality then, Jesus shows us the way because he lived that life of the poor. So here's my implication from this third point. Folks, if everybody tries to be rich, there will not be enough for everybody. We will finally exhaust the resources of the world and end up destroying everything that comes our way. But, like Jesus, if everybody tries to live simpler lives, if everyone tries to share, if everyone tries to look out for the other, if everyone tries to be poor, then not only will there be enough for everybody, but there will not be the poor. There will not be the scandalous gap between the rich and the poor, between the hungry and those who are filled, between those who weep and those who laugh. If everyone lives in the way that Jesus invites us to live, then there will not be the need for blessedness and woes. If everyone lives in the way that Jesus invites us to live, something far greater happens. The kingdom of God begins to become a reality in our lives. So really then the Beatitudes are not just about blessedness and woes. The Beatitudes in the Lucan Gospel is an invitation to live in the way Jesus lived. He who was rich became poor, so those who are poor can become rich. And this is why I titled my homily, "We Are in It Together." So let me conclude with this. The Lucan Beatitudes put things in contrast, rich and poor, woes and blessedness, because the implication of not hearing the call of the kingdom leads to woes. And hearing the call of the kingdom leads to blessedness. Blessedness or woes, the choice is in our hands. People of God said,